Oh, Father, I pray for the fathers. I lift them up. I pray that your spirit would be instilled within them like never before, Lord God. Bless them today, Lord God. Keep them by your power, Lord God. Father, I pray you be a father to the fathers. Like no one else can, Lord God. We just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We ask that you would bless us today. Touch this work. Bless it, Lord God. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come and do the work that only he can do. Oh, God, we can speak the words, but, Lord, it takes your Holy Spirit to minister to the spirit of man, Lord God. So we pray, oh, God, we invoke your Holy Spirit to come and sweep through this room and sweep through this building and sweep through the sanctuary today, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just pray and we agree with all the ministries today, Lord God, that you would minister and you would help us, Lord God, and that we would grow thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So we're just going to continue with our lesson, the headstone of the corner. There is a few extra handouts over there, at least there were a few minutes ago. So hopefully everybody's got a handout, and we're going to get into praying this name today. Last week we talked about living this name, and I'm telling you, just when I was studying that lesson, it was such a ministry to me that you've got to expect a disruption in your life when you try to line up with the headstone of the corner. Because we have to understand the situation in which we're in right now. We live in a fallen world. Okay, we live in a world of sinners. And when you try to line up with the holiness of Jesus Christ, there's going to be some disruption. Remember, you were born a sinner. Okay, you were raised in this thing. And then when Jesus Christ comes along in your life and he asks for this holiness in your life, there's going to be some disruption. As I said, Jesus is sitting out there with a bulldozer, folks. Remember what the scripture says? All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that means it takes some bulldozing. You got to move trees out the way. You got to move houses out the way so he can set up his new foundation in your life. So expect the disruption. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be surprised when people let you go and people, you know, no longer want anything to do with you because you're lining up with the headstone of the corner. And remember what we said, the point that was made so clearly is that it's not just about you. When you line up, it's about people around you. You love your family? Then line up with the headstone of the corner for their sake. Line up with the headstone of the corner. Because everybody, we all need Jesus. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're not helping anybody by compromising yourself and compromising who he is in your life. Let's line up with the headstone in the corner. So that leads us into today's lesson. We kind of understand what living this name is all about. But folks, you can't live this name unless you're willing to pray. You're going to pray this name. You're going to pray for Christ to come and set himself up as the headstone of the corner. So the key verse in this segment is, I die daily. Wow. Key verse. I die daily. Who has a page of the lesson? 109. Page 109 in the lesson. And the key verse, praying this name, that's where we are today. Is I die daily. And this is the Amplified, so it also says, I face death and die to self. And that's 1 Corinthians 15, 31b. Our lesson says to pray in Jesus' name, the headstone of the corner, is to search out the areas of the day in which we might project Christ's miracle capacity to complete what remains unfinished in our lives. Folks, you want to finish this race, okay? So when you pray the headstone of the corner, it's like you're searching out every day how I can line up so I can project Christ to everyone I'm coming in contact with. The people that you come in contact with, it's not just coincidence. You know, God's got this thing orchestrated. He knew who you're going to run into tomorrow. He already knows who you're going to run into tomorrow. He already knows who's going to push your buttons. So when it's so important that you're praying, Lord, let me line up with you today. Amen. You got that important meeting coming up? I tell you, you better pray. Because the Lord knows what's coming. And he's asking for you to come and line up with the headstone of the corner. So when you go into that meeting, you're lining up and you're okay. You're coming in with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's power is not just for church. It's for everything that you're doing. You walk in there. I mean, they won't even know what kind of presence you came in there with, but they know that we gotta yield to this spirit that you're operating in, because there's no spirit greater than the Holy Spirit. So whatever spirit may be operating in the room, it will have to yield to the Holy Spirit. And that's why we want to line up with the headstone of the corner. So just moving along, first point in the lesson, can you pray honestly about the unfinished things? Wow. And then the next question, will you pray about the things that inhibit your maturing in Christ? This is going to be a hard lesson again, folks. I'm going to tell you, this is going to be hard to listen to. Can you pray about your resentments, your offenses, your anxieties, and incomplete intentions? These are the things that you were supposed to do, and I wanted to do it, but we got all kind of buts and all kind of excuses. But I'm telling you, I tell people, I said, you know, I'm not going to have any excuse before Christ for not finishing what he told me to do. Because he died and rose with all power in his hand. So I have no excuse. I work in his authority. So why in the world did I not finish what I was supposed to do? So we got to deal with ourselves. I mean, this lesson, I love this lesson because it's about dealing with us. Your resentment. Can you bring your offenses, your anxieties, and your incomplete intentions to Christ? Will you do it? These are the places that need the miracle working support of the headstone of the corner. The headstone, which is Christ, is your support beam in these areas. Some of us are dealing with some really hard things. Some people have hurt us deeply. Some people have just knocked your legs from under you and took the breath out of you. And you know, in our humanness, we're humans. We got all this emotion going. And we need the headstone of the corner to deal with this thing. See, sometimes the reason why you're not successful in dealing with it is because you've got your own plan. You've got your own speech in your head on what you need to say instead of just relying on the headstone of the corner to take care of it. Sometimes, so many times the Holy Spirit said, be quiet. I know you got a nice speech. And I can make it, boy, I can have a speech, man. I got 3 points that I'm going to make to you so you understand what I'm saying, okay? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? You know, that's my attitude. Because it's all about my intellect and my understanding. And the Holy Spirit is not operating there. I'm not allowing the headstone of the corner to be the support in the situation. I'm going to be the support. And that's where a lot of us are. That we don't yield to the headstone of the corner. We don't let it support the house. And sometimes, you know, I put this, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I want you to just really look at that picture that I put in there. Those are the support beams. The support beams of a house. And the thing about support beams sometimes they are in the way. They are sitting right in the middle of the room, aren't they? I got a support beam in an unfinished part of my house. I got a support beam, and it's right in the way. It's like when you're walking, it's just right. Like, what? And I would think, why did they put this beam in? And then I looked up the top of the beam, and it had these teeth at the top, and it was holding on to another steel beam that was horizontal. And I was like, oh, you holding up the house, aren't you? Like, yes. And I need to be here because I'm holding up the house. Do not move me, Karen, in your renovations, okay? You can renovate, but you got to renovate around me because I'm holding up the house. And see, that's what the headstone of the corner, see, sometimes it seems like Jesus is in your way because I got this and I know how to do this, but man, here come the Holy Spirit. Here come Jesus. Here come his word telling me to turn the other cheek. Telling me not to return insult for insult or injury for injury. Man, in the way. But I'm telling you, that headstone is holding up the house. The support beam holds up the house. And if you move the support beam, what's going to happen is that the house is going to come tumbling down and you're going to have a pile of rubble to deal with. And sometimes we've done that. We've ignored the word of God. We've ignored Jesus. And boy, didn't it come tumbling down all around us? Tumbling down. All that rubble comes tumbling down all around you. And you can't move because you're covered. When rubble, when the house comes down on you, you are pinned and you can't move. And that's the way some of our lives are. We got a mess going on. And you can't do anything. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say anymore. Everything's all a mess. Because we moved the support beam. We knocked out the support beam. And the rubble came down. And we're trapped. There's no progress. There's no life. There's no movement. Just rubble. Our gifts, our talents are laid buried. We can't even use the gifts and the talents God gave us because we done moved a support beam. And we're pinned under concrete. And who's going to rescue us? And that's why the apostle wrote, you did run well, but who hindered you? And keep saying that. You did run well. You were doing fine. But who hindered you? Who told you to move that beam? And you know the answer to that question? You know the answer to the question. I did it. My pride did it. My emotions did it, Lord. That's why. I was running well, but who hindered me? I hindered me. I can't blame my sister and my brother. I hindered me. But in all of that, folks, do not fret, beloved. If you've knocked your beam, if you knocked down the support beam and you pinned under rubble, take heart. Because here come the headstone of the corner. Here comes the headstone of the corner. And he loves you so much, he will set you up again. Because see, he the only one that come and lift all that rubble off you.
Yes.
And establish himself as a support beam. Again, I was watching a movie not too long ago about the World Trade Centers. And these were two stories. It was a true story of the World Trade Center. And it was a story of these two police officers that went into the World Trade Center when the plane hit. They went into, before the buildings fell, they went in trying to help people. And while they were in there, you know what happened? The building came tumbling down on them. And they were just, one police officer just had the insight to go to the, near the elevator shaft, because if you go, that's the strongest part of the building. And so they survived that whole building coming down. But when the building came down, they were pinned under the rubble. And there were two of them. There were two of them. And one of them, man, he was just praying. Couldn't move, couldn't do anything. He was just praying. And it just showed. I mean, this is a true story. He told the story. And they showed Jesus coming to him in this movie. I mean, Nicolas Cage was in this movie, okay? And I was like, and they showed his vision. He saw Jesus coming to him, you know, while he was praying. And don't you know, God moved on the heart of a Marine. This is a true story. A Marine that was in another state. He was talking to his pastor. They showed him talk. He said, Pastor, God told me to go to New York and help at the World Trade. I got to go. The building. And the pastor's like, well, you know, I'm sure they got plenty of help. They got firemen and policemen coming from all over the nation. He goes, no, God told me to go to New York. And so he got his, packed his bag, and he went to New York, and he got to the site where those, all that rubble had come down, and the firemen had told the rest of the firemen, don't even try to look anymore. The night has come, and there's nothing we can do. We can't save any more people today in the rubble. We're going to have to start again tomorrow to save the people. But of course, those two police officers were not going to survive the night. You know, so this one police officer that was praying, he kept hitting on this metal thing. He kept hitting on it. Bang, bang, bang. That Marine showed up. Mm-hmm. Now, he wasn't a fireman or a policeman, so he just took his stuff and he just walked on into the rubble. Because he said God told him to. And he was on top of this rubble. And he was just listening. Anybody here? Anybody? He just kept saying this with his little flashlight. Anybody here? And then he heard the bang, bang, bang. And he got over there. He said, is anybody? He said, yes, we're down here. And he said, okay, we got you. And then another person showed up, another person that was still there showed up and says, hey, we got two guys down here. And they were saved. And it was like, and they were saved and they were rescued and they called the fire department. The fire department came back and they had to get the jaws of life. You know, those jaws, because they, and pulled, took those jaws, crawled down in that rubble and pulled them out of there. See, God will send somebody from across the other side of the world to save you out of your rubble. Okay, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
The headstone of the corner will send somebody from another state to get you out of your rubble. See, the people around you may not be helping you because they're tired of you, okay? I told you not to move that beam, but you did anyway. So we're tired of you. Don't you know God will send somebody from the other side of the world that will help you? Beloved. See, you're his beloved. You're his beloved. That thing moved me. It was a true story. They actually showed these police officer one that walks with a limp. To this day, he walks with a limp, but they both survived. Got out of that mess. It's called the World Trade Center. It's called the World Trade Center. I know it's on Netflix right now. It's called the World Trade Center, something like that. And it was just amazing. And I was surprised at what they showed. That they showed this man, but this was his true story. In fact, they showed him, Jesus coming to him twice, and he told his buddy, they couldn't see each other, but they could hear each other. He said, hey man, I just saw Jesus. I think he's coming for me. But it was amazing. It was amazing. And this Marine, you know, he was the one that found them. True story. See, God will do the impossible for you. He will come to your aid. He will come and he will help you. So again, we say you did run well, but who hindered you? He will come, but you must pray. I'm telling you, if you're in the rubble right now, you must pray. You must rebuke demons of anger. Uh-oh. Because some of us are angry. That's why we knocked down that beam, because we were angry. And didn't want to do it Jesus' way. I'm going to take care of this myself. Because you're too slow, God. And you're too loving, God. And you're too patient, God. And you're too forgiving, God. So you've got to be willing to pray for yourself and rebuke that spirit of anger. Some of us, it's a spirit of fear. We didn't do it because of fear. And spirit of self-pity. That one gets you every time. But see, because the spirit of self-pity makes you think that you have a right to be the way you are. Because everybody around you is feeling sorry for you. Oh, poor person. You just, all that you've been through, you know. So don't worry. We'll take care of you. No. Get up and do what Jesus told you to do. As he told the prophet Samuel, how long are you going to cry over Saul? Get up and go down to the house of Jesse. I've anointed another king of Israel, and you're the prophet. Get down there and anoint him. Self-pity. Watch that demon, because it makes you feel justified in not doing what you're supposed to do. It makes you feel justified in having a resentment and a spirit of unforgiveness. It makes you feel justified. But it's a demon, I'm telling you. It's a demon that you need to pray about in yourself and rebuke. And then don't watch the people that are coddling you. There is a place to comfort. Then there's a place where you get up and start walking again, because Jesus died, folks. See, I'm like, I have no excuse, because he died and he rose with all power in his hand, and he's given that to me. So what excuse can I tell him I didn't finish because? How are you going to finish that sentence? Somebody was telling me about that song Billy Joel sings, We Didn't Start the Fire. I don't know if you ever, we didn't start the fire. You know, talking about the condition of the world. And he sings this song, we didn't start the fire. I'm like, well, you know, Billy Joel, that's not going to hold up in front of Jesus. Maybe you didn't start the fire, but you poured gasoline on it. We can't blame Adam. Because if you're pouring gasoline on that fire and keeping it going because you keep in sinning, You're pouring gasoline on the fire. Either you're pouring gasoline or you're pouring water. You got to find out which one you're pouring. There's no excuse, we didn't start the fire. You don't, Jesus, we didn't start the fire. You know, we didn't start sin. Because he died again. I died for your sins. I covered you in the blood. I made a way for you to be redeemed. And you decided to just keep pouring gasoline on the fire. So you're responsible for the gasoline you're pouring, folks. You can't blame Adam on that great day. Next point. You may have said within your soul that you cannot forgive what was done to you, but within the support of the cornerstone, you can. I know your heart feels. I know what it feels like to have a broken heart. You know, but you can. If you allow Jesus to come in, he will change your heart. It's amazing to me. You know, I heard it all my life. Jesus will change you. Jesus will change you. But it wasn't until I experienced that I can really tell you he will. He'll change your whole outlook and your whole perspective on things. You may have said that you cannot complete what he has called you to do, but within the support of the cornerstone, you can finish it. But you must pray. You must pray. And you must come clean about yourself. You got to come clean. No excuses for you. And as you pray, you must see the forces of evil that do not want your building completed. Hear this. But with your faith in the headstone of the corner, you can extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Be aware that Satan is shooting at you while you are building on Christ, the cornerstone. Hey, yeah, he's shooting at you. This is when you hold your shield of faith tight and high as you remain focused on building. Oh my goodness, can you see it? You're building, but you got the shield of faith covering yourself, and you're holding it tight. And with the other hand, you're building. See Ephesians 6:16 that talks about the armor of God. Folks, go through the armor of God every morning. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace. And then the scriptures go on to say, and above all, and above all, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Wow. All the fiery darts. See, faith. You got to believe this thing. Because see, some of y'all, we talk a good talk. Come on. But when the hard time comes, we see what you really believe. Are you holding to the shield of faith? Or do you drop it and go a running? But see, the thing about the armor of God is that there is no armor for your back. It's the breastplate of righteousness. There's no back plate. It's just the breastplate is in the front, folks. There's nothing for your back because Jesus doesn't run. Jesus doesn't run. He's the shield of faith. He said, you hold up that shield of faith. We don't run. Do you believe him enough to keep going with what you're doing, what he's called you to do? I know it's hard. I know it's fledgling. I know you don't know how you're going to pay the bills. I know. But he is faithful that promised, folks. He that promised is faithful. If he told you to do it, he is faithful who promised. So as we go forward, you have to beware of Beelzebub. You heard that? The Lord of the Flies is his name. Because I find out more than anything, 90% of the time when it comes to us not completing, it's not the big stuff. It's the distractions, the little stuff. Well, the scripture says the little foxes destroy the vine. It's the distractions, the things that just come up. Yeah. Just pop it. Have you ever had a plan for the day and all this stuff just pop? Yeah. Especially when you want to do something, for God. And it's like all this stuff just come popping up, distractions. Wow. That's the enemy just. To see if you're going to hold up the shield of faith or whether you're going to say, just forget it. We're not going to even go. Let's just stay home. Just distractions. Dress the children and then they come and they done got into some tomato sauce. Had a plan to wear this outfit, go to your, and it's got a tear down the side. I mean, little stuff. Distraction, Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. You try to. That's how he is. Just all around you. I know, yeah, you just. Lord of the Flies. He's a distractor of the people of God. Well, you can see this. You can see the Beelzebub mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 1 and in Matthew 12, 22 through 32. The Pharisees was, Jesus had healed someone, and the Pharisees come along accusing him of healing in the name of Beelzebub. And they were operating in the very spirit. They were accusing Jesus of trying to distract him. Oh, you operating with Beelzebub, you try to distract him. Be careful of the distractors. And I'll tell you, they'll come when God told you to do something. They'll come from all over, just distracting. And just stay prayerful, stay watchful, you know. Don't get off into an attitude and get angry, because that's what the enemy wants. Just stay in the spirit. Keep praying. Keep moving forward. Because that's his weapon. I want to distract you. This demon comes to distract you when you're building on the headstone of the corner. This demon operates by trying to pull your eyes away from Christ while you are building. The enemy cannot stop you, so he cunningly seeks to distract you from completion. He will distract you from prayer. See, the devil don't care if you, you can be singing, you can be dancing, but God help, he's coming after you when you start praying. He's coming after you. Do not start talking to the commander in chief, because he will distract you from prayer, from Bible reading, from study, from church, assembling with other believers to get encouragement. Beelzebub seeks to weaken the Christian by distracting him or her from their necessary nourishment and from doing what they are called to do. And you cannot build properly in a weakened state, and he knows that. So I'm going to keep you from reading that Bible. You read that Bible and zzz, zzz, zzz. You start to pray. Zzz. And sometimes he's just bringing all kind of thoughts to your mind. You know, you got to do this today, and you got to do that, and don't forget to go to the pharmacy and pick up, blah, 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 blah. And he goes on and on and on and on and on. And I tell you, as I said, with Christians, that's where he hits us. But see, no need of us, no need of trying to tempt Rita to kill somebody, okay? No need of me trying to talk Rita into murdering somebody. Rita's not going to murder somebody, okay? So no need of even going there with her. But maybe zzz, I can keep her from praying. Christian, see, he ain't going to tempt us with the big stuff. He's going to tempt us with distractions. I just need to get you all in a weakened state so that you'll lose the battle today. So again, as the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's why we need Sunday school. That's why we need teaching. Because you need to understand your enemy. You need to understand the enemy. All this stuff that we think is every day, no. That's Beelzebub. Just trying to distract you. But you got to keep your mind and your heart tuned into Jesus. Keep praying. That's why the scripture says pray without ceasing. Prayer is insect repellent. From the flies. Just pray. You could be praying as you walk out praying. Lord, I just thank you. Just praise you. Praise you. So when you see the little one covered in tomato sauce, you can just, okay, baby, let's change your clothes. Come on, let's change your clothes. We got to go. Okay, let's change your clothes. And you can. You can stay even. I used to lose my victory before they got on the school bus, girl. I would lose my joy before they got on the school bus after praying, you know, because I wasn't aware of zzzz. Therefore, the next point, as you build on the cornerstone, you must pray to remain focused. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. See, our faith needs perfecting. We have the shield of faith, you know, but so many times we let it drop. Things come up and we let it drop. And I think we let it drop for distractors more than anything. We keep it up for the big stuff sometimes. But with the little stuff, we just kind of, let me just keep it up. He's looking for the crack that he can get in.
That's true.
And get you all messed up. Next, we're going to talk about the distractors in the early church. Because this isn't anything new. Galatians 5. 1 through 10. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and do not get tied up again in the slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right before God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. So circumcision had become a distraction here. Here the apostles trying to plant churches and establish the church of Jesus Christ. And here comes somebody talking about circumcision. Oh, you guys have to be circumcised. All the Gentiles have to be circumcised. A distraction. To keep people from learning and growing in Christ. So the apostle has to sit back. He has to take some time to teach them about circumcision and why this isn't necessary. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. There's our scripture. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. And get this, God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. The distractors will be dealt with. And folks, I'll tell you, in the church, he's writing to the church at Galatia. A distractor in the church, somebody bringing up some issue that is like legalism. Oh, folks, we came out of that. We grew up with that. Distractor. Our faith and our religion and our closeness with God was based on what we wore. You know, how many times you did something. It was based on your ritual. It was based on everything that you did, how you wore your hair. It was based on all this stuff. And then the relationship with Christ was lost in the mix because we were too busy following the rules that we lost sight of the relationship. Yes, there are good things to do. There is an appropriate way to dress. But when that's your focus and that's where you base your faith is in what you wear and how you got your hair and, you know, and how many times you do this or how many times you do that. As Paul is saying, what's the benefit? Is it, you know, whether you're circumcised or not, that's not the point. The point is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the point. So who's distracting you and keeping you from growing in Christ? God's going to deal with that person, he said. Paul had to write a letter to the church at Galatia because someone had entered with a distraction, a false teaching that was pulling the people away from Christ. This church was growing and thriving, and then came the distractor telling them that they also must be circumcised. This distraction was designed to pull them back into legalism, salvation by the works of man, instead of grace, salvation by the work of Jesus Christ. I want you to really get this point, because it happens all the time in the church. Just being distracted from all this, you know, he died for you to have a personal relationship. You should never have your relationship through another person. And somebody whispering you all this stuff and you're distracting you. What has God told you to do? Then do it. Stay at your assignment. And do it unto his honor and to his glory. Note that the distractor is often subtle. He or she will look and sound like a good person or a Christian, but will teach a false doctrine. This is why you must know the Bible for yourself.
Amen.
They will sound good. They will smell good. You know, and I got this demonstration. And just forgive my crudeness, but this is the foundation. Okay, this is the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, okay? And so sometimes it can appear as if somebody is building on the foundation. Look good, smell good, sing, oh man, worship, doing all this stuff with you. But when you really look, let me see if I can twist this table. When you really look at what's going on, you see this. Here's the foundation and here's them.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people, they're hanging out at the church. But they're not building on the foundation. They got another agenda. So you've got to know. You know, the Bible tells, this is Bible. Bible says know people by the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you're going to know when something is not right. You're going to sense it in your spirit. Don't think the devil won't come to church. Yes, he will. Witches and warlocks will come right up in the church. Assigned to destroy. So be careful of this kind of stuff going on. Looks good. Going up. Oh, there you go. You're just going on up. But not on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Not on his foundation. Be careful. Know the Bible. Know Bible. If I tell you something then, if I'm telling you something that's not in that word, don't you listen to me. You know, I'll say like the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I get off, girl, don't follow me. I'm telling y'all now. If I care and gets off, y'all pray for me, but don't you follow me. You follow Jesus Christ. You always know his word. Know what he is saying. He is Lord. You don't want to be building next to the foundation. You want to be building on the foundation. You want to make sure that whoever coming along, they're on the foundation. They're on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Now we're going to go into what Nehemiah dealt with. Remember, Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after the children of Israel were taken into captivity by Babylon. And here Nehemiah, he's got permission to come back and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And this is what's going on. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were building the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, What does this poor bunch of feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they think they can actually make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked, "The stone wall would collapse even if a fox walked along the top of it." Ha, ha, ha. Just laughing at them and mocking them. And then get verse 4. See, I love verse 4. "Then I prayed." I didn't get mad. I didn't throw rocks at those guys talking to us. I didn't go tell them off. Then he said, "I prayed. Hear us, O God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger in front of the builders." And verse 6 says, "At last the wall was completed to the half of its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm." You see this? Sometimes when you're building, yeah, people are going to mock you. People are going to talk about you. People are going to put you down. People can do all kinds of things. But you stay on the foundation. You don't get off. You don't stop your work. They didn't stop their work. Nehemiah said, "Then I prayed. I went to talk to Jesus about this situation. And God took care of it. And the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt." Because they stayed focused. And, you know, and sometimes the distraction does come from people that are close to you. The strategy can come from your own household. Pray. Pray. God, pray. I'll tell you, it's powerful. I mean, if you're going to pray this name, the headstone of the corner, you've got to pray wherever you need to pray. Nobody is exempt. Nobody is exempt from being tempted by the enemy either. So you have to always be in prayer. This relationship is first. And then you can do these relationships much better when this is first. There was a poem in the book that I wanted to read that was really ministering. The poem on page 121. And it says, "Sever me from myself that I may be grateful to you. May I perish to myself that I may be safe in you. May I die to myself that I may live in you. May I wither to myself that I may blossom in you. May I be emptied of myself that I may abound in you. May I be nothing to myself that I may be all to you." What a powerful, powerful prayer. That's our prayer, folks. You know, we're living in a time where we really have to be serious about our walk and our faith. The only safe place, I'm going to tell you right now, the only safe place there is going to be is lined up with the headstone of the corner. Mm-hmm. If you're compromising, if you're playing around with this thing, it won't be safe. As you can see, the tensions are mounting in this nation. The tension is mounting. It's mounting. You know, people are getting more tense about what's going on. This upcoming election, oh my God, I hope y'all praying over the election. I hope you all are praying. Pray over the election. I'm praying, God, let your will be done. I'm not calling one person. I'll just say, Lord Jesus, let your will be done. Let your will be done, Father. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come, Lord. I knew you already knew who was going to be running in 2016. You already knew this, Lord. So we're going to pray your will be done and your kingdom come. And Lord, we're going to stay in you. We're going to stay in Christ. We're going to line up with Christ because the word of God is not changing, folks, okay? The word of God doesn't change. And we're living in a different day. We're living in a different day. And we've got to stand for our Lord. We've got to stand for him through all of this. In the today's prayer in your book, it says, your surprises are better than my carefully laid plans. Mm. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
God will surprise you. And it's better than your planning. He'll come in and he'll surprise you. Any comments?
I know we're talking about, false doctrine and false prophets. And mm-hmm. When you watch TV and you see all these false prophets, I call it, yeah. And they said, oh, you will be blessed in 48 hours if you just send $1,000.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yes.
I did it one time, because I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, mm-hmm. you get $300 and stuff. The uh-huh. Holy Spirit did bless me and everything uh-huh. because if I felt the Holy Spirit yes. that I need to give, and I will,
yes.
But I say you have to be careful on those people because you're blinded by uh-huh. their false teaching and stuff, and you just have to be careful on that.
Yes.
If you don't know the word, you
yes.
have to have that spiritual discernment.
Yeah.
That these people are just trying to get some money off you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's such a sad state of affairs. But that people would use the word of God in that manner.
It's just
because when I look at the Lord, I said, Jesus never sold a healing. He never,
those pouts of holy water.
Yeah, I said Jesus never. He just healed. He just did that, and out of that you give, the early church, they gave out of their heart to give because they wanted to build the house of God and they wanted to bless ministries and they just gave. It wasn't if you give, you'll get. Jesus never, I said, know your Bible, people, your Bible.
But
God never sold healings.
I know,
but I tell you, we've been given money from Israel, the Rabbi Einstein, for Christian Fellowship. They definitely, when you say when you bless your people, you will be blessed. And I believe that.
Yes.
I believe that. So we've been doing that, and we've been blessing tremendously.
Yeah.
That's what you have to know.
But that's a scriptural thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. Well, you if you give this, then you're going to get that.
Yeah,
it's just
you don't even think about it.
Because the scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you.
Right.
It may not even come from the source that you gave to.
Right.
God may tell you to give over here, and the blessing is coming from over here.
Yeah.
Amen. So God just tells you to give. Just bless. If I tell you to give, but, if I give to them, give. Give as God told you to give. And he'll take care. I find that in my life all the time. He told me to give over here, and he blessed me over here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow. I didn't see that coming. And that's how God operates. So, yes, you're absolutely right, Rose. We've got to have a discerning spirit. Yes, you do bless God's work. Don't get me wrong. You do bless. You should be tithing. You should be giving offerings. You should be giving to the work of the ministry. Absolutely. But be careful. Be discerning. Jesus doesn't sell healings, okay? And, he doesn't sell blessings. He just tells you to obey his word, and then things will happen.
Well, back to that chapter 40, me and my
scriptures. Go ahead.
So, verse 11, I'm just going to read part of that, most of it. Our enemies were saying, before you know what's happening, we will swoop down and let me kill them and end their work. I was thinking that's just what Satan wants to do, to kill us, to end the work.
End the work.
Always.
Yes.
And then verse 14, Nehemiah calls the people together and he says, I called together the leaders and the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious, and fight for your friends, your families, and your homes. And I love the way Nehemiah just seems like such a positive person, that he knew what God had asked him to do.
Yeah.
He knew his purpose, his mission, his calling, and he was just steady on. He was steadfast and anchored, just immovable. And he knew who the source of strength and power was. And he didn't seem to be afraid or intimidated.
Yes.
He was a real man of faith. And let's see, verse 20. At one point when he talks about how the work needs to go on, but some of the people are going to be armed. And so it says, when you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it's sounding, then our God will fight for us, because he was saying, you know, people are kind of spread out here, so if there is an attack, this is the plan. He had a plan, and he was making certain that the people felt reassured and that they were going to defend themselves, but God was the one who would fight for them. And then in verse 23 at the end, it says, we carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. And before that, he was saying they didn't even like take their clothes off. They were watchful. They were alert, because they knew what the enemy wanted to do.
Wow.
But it was like somehow they kept getting the message. God allowed them to know what the enemy's plans were ahead of time, so they could be prepared.
Wow. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That's just the way God will do it. He'll give you insight and show you things and tell you how to do things so that you are safe and the people around you are safe. You know, so absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I hope you guys can just see this whole scene with Nehemiah. You know, here he is, a leader trying to build the walls of Jerusalem. You got all these hecklers around you and people that may attack you. You know, and he's trying to get a plan in order to do the work of the Lord. And that's the way it is today, folks, when God has called you to do something. So if you're called to do something and you're going through all this stuff, take heart. You're doing what God, you're doing what God has called you to do. But he will be victorious. Anybody else?
Just like the story of Nehemiah, he was the cupbearer to the king.
Yes.
And he had to go to the king and ask him permission to be able to leave.
Right.
So he had to have good favor with the king in order for the king to even look at him, much less go for him. And then what did the king do? He opened it up and gave him everything he needed.
Wow.
And this is what, you know, what we do is that we look to the Lord and we ask him, and he'll give us everything we need.
Yeah, wonderful point. Yeah. Wonderful point. Bill, he had that relationship with the king, and when the time was right, you know, he was ready to go, and he had everything he needed.
Right.
Yeah. Another beautiful point when it comes to things.
It's how God will supply all your needs when you ask him for them. So,
amen. Can I see somebody over here?
I don't know how to say this. But I was dealing with a lot of anger there for a while. Not so much with the situation I'm in, but with my husband for whatever reasons. But I went to the Lord in prayer, and I thought, you know, Lord, I don't like this feeling. But I know it's there. You know it's there. I can't fool you, Lord. You know what I'm thinking. You know what I'm feeling. And the anger was getting escalated in my own spirit. Well, yesterday I was invited to go to a funeral of a friend of mine. And she was married 53 years. That's how long I'll be married this coming November.
Wow.
The Lord really dealt with me. And then after I went home, I thought to myself, Donna's going to go back and her husband's chair is empty. What are you thinking, Virginia? What are you thinking? But see, in being Father's Day today, there's a lot of things that have... It was today, in 1977, when I broke my back on a horse. So Father's Day has brought bittersweet things, but you know what? Where the Lord taught me this last couple of days all that other stuff is past. I still have my husband. And I just thank God the way he deals with us. Only if we go to him in prayer. Because anger is ugly. It's one of the things that the enemy will use. And here we come to church, smiling, talking, good morning, good morning. But God knows our hearts.
Yes, yes.
God knows our hearts. And I was blessed this morning because this guy walked in, new to our church, and he tells me, do they allow sinners here? I looked at him and I said, yeah, I care. So back to what I'm trying to say, let's be real. And if we're having a problem, go to the Lord. Because he will help you deal with it, and he'll let you know, I know where you're at, but I'll help you with it. And he does.
Yeah.
But I thought it was so neat because I thought, gee, life is so fragile. And sometimes we take it for granted.
Yeah.
And I learned through a lot of ways, and most of the time through God, just showing me that, hey, I got it. You just love him. And be there for him. I've got it. So it was a rude awakening for me. Now I'm happy again.
Amen. And that's the way that works. You will be happy again. You know, again, we have to deal with that spirit that tries to make us justify our attitude and justify our sin. You got to rebuke that thing. That is a spirit. And you have to lay yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I forgive. I don't care what, if they forgive me, if I say I'm sorry and they don't say sorry back, you still forgive.
Karen, you know, the thing that most of us don't really understand is how important it is to get before God and repent. Repent for feeling that way. You know, just like Virginia was saying, my husband and I, we're both retired, so, and thank God we have a big house, because we can separate ourselves for a while.
I know where you're at.
And so, well, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
It's true, you know?
Yes, it is.
So, the other day,
transparent.
The other day, he threw a dagger at me. Let's just put it that way, make a long story short. He threw a dagger at me, and then later on, I got it and threw it back at him. And so, you know what? I got a pain in my sciatica. I'm not kidding. I allowed an evil spirit to come into me, so I had to go downstairs, get by myself, get my list out. I have a whole 20-30 pages of things that I have to go through to repent. Repent and renounce.
That's it.
Renounce it from in our generations back to Adam. And then repent for coming into agreement with it.
Wow.
And so that repentance part is so important.
Yes, it is.
You know, to come out of agreement with whatever. Then I had to go to my husband and say, well, I'm sorry that I said you couldn't hear. Yeah. Well, he has a hard time hearing.
Yeah.
And he said, what? I said, please forgive me. As I raised my voice, please forgive me for telling you you couldn't hear.
And you know what? You know what, Joanne? Even though I don't even know if he heard what you said to him, but you know what you said to him.
Yes.
So you still had to repent from that thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm telling you that. I tell you, it's the little box. It's the distractors that will mess you up. And it starts with just one little thing. I'm going to share this with you. You know, my daughter and I was talking, and you know, she has this gift where she can see things in the spirit sometimes. And, you know, she tells me about the angels and stuff and, you know, the angels that she sees around her and stuff. And we were talking, she said, you know, when I was a teenager, You know, Mom, I was, you know, me and my friend, we were looking through this book, and this book had this stuff that had witchcraft in it and stuff, and we were looking through this book, and we were going through this book, and I asked her, I said, well, what were your angels doing when you were looking through this book? She said, my angels were just standing in the background, because I chose to look in that book. So they just stood back, and the demons came close. You know, exactly what you're saying. When you choose a certain thing, you know, the holy angels stand back. The ones that are, my guardian, the one that protects me, the one that's been with me all my life, standing back. Because this is what you're choosing. Isn't that something? Because God doesn't violate your free will. And when you're choosing to do stuff, he's like, okay, we have to stand back because she's not calling on the Father. She's not calling on Christ, and she's not calling. She's deciding. She's making a decision to look at this stuff. So, and she's, and the demons drew near. And that's the way that works. We decide.
And as soon as I did my repenting and asking for forgiveness, that pain was gone.
Yeah. Wow. Because you know what? When you do that, you're deciding for Christ again.
Yes,
and
yes.
You're surrounded and protected. You know, we've got to take this thing seriously. You're just surrounded by the hordes of hell, and they're just waiting. They're waiting to pounce on you. And your decision will determine that.
That's why it says in our word, Sister Karen, we don't fight against flesh and blood.
Yes.
You know,
but
we're
against
not
principalities. Yes, we're not fighting against flesh and blood.
And you know, you start thinking about that. Nobody's going to come up and slap us.
Yes, exactly.
They don't do it that way.
Yes,
does.
Yes. I mean, it just hit me when she said, they're just standing. They were just standing in the background.
Yeah, they're not going to. This is why we have to recognize the enemy and who's coming at you.
Yeah.
And what he's after.
Yes. Yes.
What he's after.
Yes.
And we have to know him.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, people say, well, as long as I know Jesus.
Yes.
That's true. Praise God for our relationship.
Yes.
But you've got to know him also.
Yes.
And how he comes in on you.
Yes.
Right. How he comes in on you, you will never realize it until, boom, you're hit.
Yes. Yes.
And that's why I've always said, know who you are in Christ.
Yes.
No, stand in faith.
Ooh.
Stand on that faith you have.
Yes.
I shared this with Sister Rose the other day. We were praying in our sanctuary the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked in, I felt a real heartache for my granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
Nathan's 21-year-old daughter. So I thought, I'm going to go put her name on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Got my oil, went, put her name on the board. And I started going up in the balcony, and I was coming, and we're praying like we always do every Sunday when we can. There I was, up in the balcony, lost, this was all me and God alone, lost my footing up there. And I almost came down.
Uh-huh.
And I was there. It was in the dark. You know how we come in, it's dark. And I just was praying, oh God in heaven. Oh God in heaven, take away this pain. God in heaven, because I heard it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Next day I was all blue. You know what the Lord showed me? This is the spiritual warfare, Virginia.
Mm. Wow.
My granddaughter's doing fine.
Yes.
My granddaughter got herself a job, pulled herself together, calling her dad.
Yes.
Recognize your enemy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because he will.
He will.
He's like, I can't stop her from praying, but, you know, let me see if I can get her to trip. You know. And you may say, well, why didn't God stop it? You know, God is looking for your resolve in him. I know that. God can block everything coming at you, but he's like, I'm looking for, I've given you authority.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm going to see if you're going to walk in my authority.
Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, yes.
Or are you going to, I can't believe this happened, just forget it.
Oh, no.
No.
Well, it's just like with Nehemiah, when he got the permission from the king.
Yes.
He ran into difficulty. Yeah. It wasn't just all roses and peaches. Oh, yeah, come, welcome us. We'll help you build the wall.
Yeah.
No, that's when the devil or the enemy came against him
and
made everything almost impossible for him. But he knew he had that call.
Yes.
You know, and he kept saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And he finally told Sambella to go jump in the lake. Yeah. Thing, you know? And that's what we have to do.
That's what we have to do.
When God calls us to do something, we're going to hit opposition.
All the time.
I mean, that's, you know, because then you're going to say, are you sure you did that?
This doesn't
make sense to me. How come this is happening? You told me to do this. And this is happening.
And now this is happening. Yeah. But you know, I'm reminded of the words of Christ right before he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. Because I have all power and make disciples of all nations. Yeah. You know, he said, because I've got the power. Right. I've got the power in my hand. Then he told us to go. Yes. You know, it wasn't going to be easy, but he said, I've got all the power now. Now you go.
Yes.
And you know what the disciples went through.
Yes.
But they were victorious. They were victorious. And God is looking for the same thing in us. It's not that you're not going to have these things happen. I tripped up there a time or two. You know, up there. You know? But I'm like, let me get... I tripped. And nobody even saw me trip. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Nobody saw me trip. Jesus. And I just kept on praying. I'm like, you know, Lord, we're just going to keep on praying. Because God is looking for your resolve. God is strengthening you. He's growing you up. He's making you more mature. That's why you go through stuff. He's looking at, okay, I've given her all power. Now let's see what she does with it. What does she do with it? What does he do with it? He's strengthening us and growing us up. He doesn't want weaklings. Strong, capable children of the Most High God. That's who we are.
Because like I think Karen
said, so I'm going to do this thing.
Because I've been praying, you know, God, I've been praying for God to give me comfort and peace in the situation, and instead of telling him I don't like your time, and I've been telling him to help me understand. And the other day I ran into this lady that was Tony's teacher at East, as a special needs teacher. She's always been real nice to me. The other day I ran into her, and I don't know if there was a staring thing there when I ran into her. She's always been real nice to me, and she asked me how he was doing, and I told her he was there, he's working and stuff, and he still has all the restrictions and stuff, and she just laid into me all kinds. I did everything wrong, and she just laid into me all kinds of stuff, but I was able to just walk away and not fire back at her like
good for you.
I would have done. So
yes.
Amen. I think he's helping me. That's
Amen. You know, there was, amen. Because there was a day when you would have given her. Margaret, I know. And God will fight that battle for you. God will take care of that situation, Margaret.
I mean, she told me to ask me.
Yeah, God will take care of it.
She's always been nice to me. But she was,
you know.
And I didn't say... Yeah, there was a day I would have really told her, like, I didn't say nothing. Yeah. I said, now I see her, I didn't say anything back. There was a day.
Pray without ceasing. Just stay in prayer.
I was just sharing with Rita yesterday about how proud I am of Margaret.
Yeah.
We have seen you grow, Margaret, like nobody else.
Yeah.
And we are proud of you. Yeah. I am. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first met you, we used to have our bump our heads, didn't we? But she has grown in the Lord like nobody else.
Yes, yes. That's all God.
I'm proud of you, honey.
That's God.
I'm very proud.
Amen.
But I was sharing that with Rita, you know.
Yeah.
And we can all agree how we've seen you grow in this class and in church.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. You are really.
Just a growth. God.
God is growing up.
Yes. He is faithful who promised. Okay, we're going to have to close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, again, we thank you for the headstone of the corner, Lord God. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ that can come within our rubble. Oh, Lord, within our crashes, Lord God, and just establish us once again, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for your goodness, your mercy to us, Lord God. Father, I pray that you bring us to the place where we are laying ourselves upon the altar, Lord God. Bring us to the place of repentance, Lord God. Father, all bets are off. We're going to start covering up, Lord God. And we're going to lay ourselves before you, Lord God. And let you see, Lord God. Oh God, what is with us, Lord God. And deal with us, Lord God. Father, we're not going to hide it, Lord God. But we want you to deal with it, Father. Clean us up, Lord God. Come in with your bulldozer and move stuff out, Lord God. Stuff that's been established there for years and decades. Oh God, move it out. Move it out, Lord. I pray you bring forgiveness into our life, Lord. Let us trust in your forgiveness working in us, Lord. Let us trust in your love working in us, Lord God. Let us trust in your peace working in us, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that we would shine as lights in this world, Lord God. That we would trust you over our own methods of dealing with situations and issues, Lord God. When our heart is broken and our heart is hurt, Lord, I pray that we turn to you, Lord God. When the distractors come, oh God, we'll be like Nehemiah that said, but then I prayed. Oh Lord, I didn't argue, I didn't get into anger, I didn't get in resentment, but I prayed, Lord God. Oh Lord, let that be our testimony, that we prayed. Oh God, as we know, as we pray, your Holy Spirit will come in and move on our behalf.
Yes, yes,
it does. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you and we magnify your name, Lord God. And let us walk in this thing, Lord God. Let us pray the name, the headstone of the corner, that we line up with it every day. Every day, we're putting on the whole armor of God. That we may be able to stand against the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus Christ, the headstone of the corner's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.